This podcast is brought to you by the Gosh Learning Academy.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Safe and Sound, a medicine safety podcast. Today we have Sam Hughes, who's our newly appointed AMS pharmacist. Welcome, Sam. So, Sam, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself, about what AMS is and how AMS feeds into your role?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm Sam. I'm a paediatric pharmacist specialising in children's infections and the use of antimicrobials. So antimicrobial stewardship is actually using antimicrobials or antibiotics, as everyone knows, carefully and wisely, just to make sure that they work when we need them the most. So it's actually just promoting kind of appropriate use of them.
Yeah.
So essentially what I do is look at ensuring that each child who needs an antibiotic at GOSH receives the right one for the right bug. Yeah. At the right dosing and kind of the right duration as well. So we know that children process medications differently, and infections can actually present in quite unique ways,
yeah,
particularly for our cohorts of patients at GOSH.
Yeah.
So actually optimizing the use of antibiotics based on the child in front of you and trying to get the dose that's going to work best, quite important and complex at times, but that's just a snippet. And you know, monitoring of high risk antibiotics, looking at the levels of antibiotics in the body, and actually finding the right medication that the child is actually going to take, which sometimes can actually be the most challenging part, to be honest.
Yeah.
And education as well.
Yeah, so we just got a bit of a whistle-stop tour of your job, but probably by no means all of it. I'm sure that's a very, very high-level summary of what's going on. You've already spoken about a few bits and pieces when it comes to antibiotics or antimicrobials and safety, and you mentioned a couple of things like high-risk medication. So given that it's Medicine Safety Month and we're here to do a Medicine Safety podcast, how does medicine safety fit into AMS?
Yeah, that's quite a good question, actually. So I think a lot of antimicrobial usage can feed into med safety. So a lot of our antibiotics that we use can be quite high risk, particularly here at GOSH. And we need to make sure that we're safe with them. Even just making sure that we're giving the right antibiotic can feed into medication safety, because if we're giving the incorrect antibiotic for the bug that's grown, then we're going to encourage things like resistance. So I think resistance is quite an important subject which feeds into med safety. And these bugs are very clever and they adapt quite quickly. And if we use them inappropriately or incorrectly, then we're going to have resistant infections, and then that's not going to be safe for anyone in the future, and that's going to be quite tricky to treat these infections in the future. I think secondly as well, you know, children's bodies are still developing, so kind of the way they're absorbing, metabolizing and clearing these antibiotics can change as they grow, and I think using them incorrectly can then affect their microbiome and then limit the antibiotic options in the future. And I think that's really important to tie into med safety, really, because if we can't get it right, that's not going to be safe for any child.
Yeah. Yeah. And having worked within this role that you're in now previously, I can only stress what resistance is and what resistance means. For me, whenever I was doing this role previously, I was told that antimicrobial stewardship and resistance are the building blocks of everything around you. Without appropriate antibiotics to cover general surgeries such as broken legs and stuff like that, we can't actually do those surgeries and we can't operate. So if people aren't being careful and prescribers aren't being careful with what they're prescribing, it can eventually, and it will eventually, lead in the sort of direction that we're going to. It will lead to people not being able to have basic surgeries. And I can imagine in our pediatric population, that is going to be a very, very big step backwards from where we've come. So that's really interesting. So you've mentioned a couple of high-risk antibiotics and I'd like to talk about those a bit more if that's okay. So I think you mentioned something called therapeutic drug monitoring medication previously. So can you tell our listeners a bit more about what that means and why that's such a big topic for you as an antimicrobial pharmacist?
Yeah, exactly. So therapeutic drug monitoring antibiotics are specific antibiotics that we use that need specific monitoring. So what that actually means in practice is monitoring the blood levels of the antibiotic to make sure that it's safe. Now, these antibiotics can be risky. So if you think of levels, if you've got too high of a level of the drug in your blood, then it can risk things like worsening renal function or toxicity. But if you have too low levels of antibiotic in your blood, you're going to risk treatment failure, and then you're not going to treat the infection
Yeah.
as appropriately. And then also, you might encourage resistance because you're not optimizing the antibiotic. And I think that's very important in our role. And I mean, not just my role as an antimicrobial pharmacist, but every pharmacist. Because it's not just antimicrobials that have this drug monitoring for. And, you know, we really need to consider that we're in that safe limit where we're not toxic, but we're not subtherapeutic. I think we have a very complex cohort of patients here at GOSH, and sometimes it's really difficult to get that balance right because they have a lot of comorbidities and issues around kind of how their drug processing is in their body. You know, we have tiny, tiny babies, and also children that have complex conditions. And I think it's really difficult to get the balance sometimes.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, you know, with the porridge. You got to get it right. You know, it can't be too hot, can't be too cold. But equally, the way you've described it with our patients is that the bowl has a hole in the bottom of it, and instead of a spoon, you're using a fork as well. So it sounds really, really complex and something that I can imagine an AMS pharmacist needs to spearhead to champion our other pharmacists within our hospital to make sure that those levels are in the right range. And then another hot topic at the moment for us in the UK is penicillin allergies. And in recent years, we've discovered that there was some practice back in the day where people would come to your doctor with what we would not describe these days as an allergy, but more of an intolerance. Nausea and vomiting to an antibiotic. How does that affect our pediatric population, and how does that play into antimicrobial stewardship these days?
And that's a really big topic, particularly in pediatrics, in my opinion. So I think a lot of the time there's inappropriate allergy documentations, and things that are labeled as an allergy might not be necessarily an allergy, like you mentioned, you know, things like a tummy upset or a bit of diarrhea and rash. And actually, around 90% of these penicillin allergy labels are actually incorrect.
Whoa,
So
it's a big
yeah,
number.
it's a massive percentage. And actually, it's quite common for children, particularly less than four, to develop minor rashes when they are treated with penicillins. And that's not necessarily a true allergy. But actually, the issue here is once that gets documented on the record, it follows that child through their entire life, up to their adult life, if it's not challenged. So that really limits treatment options then, and actually it might require broader spectrum antibiotics or less effective antibiotics in that patient, which could cause resistance, like we talked about earlier, and actually just might be less effective at treating the infection that they might have. So I think it's really important to properly assess these quote unquote allergies and safely delabel it and kind of think about what we would consider as an allergy and what could be used safely. And I think it's really important in children as well, because I think it is normal. Everyone worries about these sort of allergy labels in children. And I really understand parents when they are concerned about it. So when their child gets a little tummy upset or rash, that is quite concerning for a parent.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think a lot of it is about education and having honest conversations with parents about what we would consider an allergy and what the importance of that is. And sometimes we can mitigate those risks and try and come to kind of a mutual agreement on how we're going to give the antibiotics and the best antibiotic for that child at the right dose.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really, and also, as soon as you take off, penicillins, as you've mentioned, are one of the still the best, some of the best antibiotic class out there to treat infections. And as soon as you take that away, you're starting to be left with what we would call inferior treatment options, right? And, like you said, it could not work. And given the cohort of patients that we have at Great Ormond Street, we've got people who have come from their local hospital who have already been treated with stuff, and they've got highly resistant bacteria. So our treatment options are limited anyway. But also we have our international and private patients who come over from different countries with a different resistance pattern. And as soon as you take that allergy off, you're limiting your pool of antibiotics to use even more. And as soon as you start using those antibiotics, as we know, the bacteria are so clever that they begin to develop those resistance mechanisms almost immediately. So those last line antibiotics that we've got going on that we're using because somebody's been labeled penicillin allergic falsely is actually having a huge detrimental effect to other patients within our organization. And if they start to spread, then we could start to see things a bit more regionally or even nationally that just because we've started using something due to a false allergy, you can see how that snowballs and could potentially affect other people within our country. It's mental, isn't it? All
It's
this.
crazy. And even at GOSH, we have local resistance patterns that already limit antibiotic usage at GOSH for our patients. So we're already pooling from a very small pool of antibiotics available. And let's not forget, there hasn't been a new antibiotic class developed since. Was it 1867?
1967.
Nineteen,
We're not,
nine,
we're
no,
not,
sorry,
we're
it's
not
1987.
1987. All right. We're not that
No,
old.
but it's a long time.
It has been a long time. And for those who may not know why, I think it's important to understand that there's not a lot of money being made for antibiotics because people are treated for 3, 5 days, or maybe even two weeks, maybe a month or 6 weeks at a push. But that doesn't earn a lot of money for people, does it? In terms of drug pharma companies, big pharma companies would like to make money on stuff that's lifelong, stuff like diabetes, blood pressure, other lifelong conditions that we see, and creating antibiotics doesn't work in their financial model. So there's no incentive for people. But there are models now coming out, as you know, Sam. Netflix models, they're calling it these days. So it's a subscription model. So there are incentive for companies now to make drugs because they'll be given a definitive amount of money per year. And that's really promoting new antibiotics coming into the market, which is great to see from that aspect.
And I suppose as well, drug companies are very reluctant because of the resistance. They don't want to make antibiotics that they think might not be effective in 20 years' time.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Important.
it's very nuanced and multifaceted. It's very, very political as well.
Yes, definitely.
And something that we're hoping will change in the years to come because it is, as we know, an issue that is ongoing. So we've talked a lot about medicine safety within AMS, and I thank you for that. Going back to your role, so we've got this antimicrobial stewardship role, but obviously we're in a very niche part of the healthcare sector where we only deal with kids. So how does antimicrobial stewardship, why is it so important in our cohort of children?
I think there's a lot of factors, to be honest, and we've touched upon it a little bit with therapeutic drug monitoring and resistance patterns, but actually dosing as well. So children, we all know children are not small adults. The way they process drugs is very different, and it's really important to account for these factors when we're thinking about antibiotic usage, which we might not need to think about in adults as much. So, again, like I mentioned, the complexity of the patients that we have at GOSH. And also, as well, a lot of antibiotics might not be specifically licensed in children. That's a very big issue. And sometimes there's not published dosing information for some antibiotics in children. And actually, it's how we're adapting the information that's already out there. It takes a very intelligent team to kind of review and get the appropriate dosing. And it's not just pharmacists, it's the wider healthcare team that it takes. So I think that's a very important issue. I think formulation issues as well, in children particularly, it's a challenge, and sometimes almost the biggest challenge is that, a lot of antibiotic suspensions for children actually taste horrible. So, for example, linezolid is disgusting. I can neither confirm or deny that I tried it to see what it tastes like. But, I think it's important because we're asking children to take these medications, and sometimes they taste awful, which can risk, incomplete courses of antibiotics, which then risks worsening the infection and resistance patterns as well if they don't complete the full course, or, recurrence of an infection down the line that actually might be even more difficult to treat. So, we're trying to do a lot of work around promoting solid dosage forms for children and pill swallowing initiatives because we are aware that these formulations are really complex and difficult, particularly to have in children.
And just going back to your point about not having the dosing available, I know that you guys are working closely with UCL, a school for children, and you have Professor Joe Standing, who's an expert in his field, and he's helping with all that stuff. But it's not an easy feat, is it, to try and extract this stuff? There's so much money and so much resource poured into adult dosing, but when it comes to us, we need to take that step. One step further, in fact, in order to make sure that everything is safe and above board, and the amount of time and meetings that we have spent to try and just make sure that what we're putting in front of our patients is in fact safe is a whole another level, isn't it?
Exactly. And actually, it's about maintaining trust as well. So, maintaining the trust that the parents put into us to look after their children and to make sure that we're getting the dosing right and it's right for that child and it's the medication that's going to get into the child as well. And I think that's really important, is having that, though, these open and honest conversations as well, and acknowledging that we don't always have the answers. And it's a very difficult challenge to get these dosing information right. And
But
it's
oh,
long term.
yeah, but ultimately, we don't want to give something to someone without being absolutely 100%, 10% sure that
Exactly.
it's not going to cause any harm. So that's why things can take a bit longer here, but
Yes.
ultimately it's for the safety of our patients. Sam, thank you so much for coming on to this podcast. I'm about to wrap things up. So before we go, do you have a top tip for anyone listening? Parents, patients, staff, anyone?
Ooh, I think if your child is prescribed some antibiotics, I would always ask why, because I think sometimes they're not always appropriate, and sometimes they're not always indicators. And I think getting parents involved in the conversation around antimicrobial use and stewardship and resistance is ultimately going to pave the way for our children's futures. So ask why.
Ask why, absolutely. And that's a fantastic. And I think, do you know what? Even outside of antimicrobial stewardship, I think that's a really important question to ask, whether someone's been put on blood pressure medication or, like we said, diabetic medication, always ask why. As a patient, as a parent, you're entitled to know what the treatment plan is and why we are putting you on certain medications. And you know what?
Exactly.
Like you said, if we can prevent at least one antibiotic course from happening that's unnecessary, then we've potentially saved a bacteria from transforming and mutating and not being able to work next time. So I think that's excellent
Yeah,
advice.
and that's my job, sir.
Is there anything you'd like to promote whilst you're on this podcast? It's a particularly special week this week, isn't it?
It is indeed. So it's Antimicrobial Resistance Awareness Week across the entire world. And this is about, like we've just mentioned, really, promoting appropriate antibiotic use and it avoiding resistance and actually just opening the conversation up. So as part of this Antimicrobial Resistance Awareness Week, a few things that you can do at home. So if your child is prescribed antibiotics, then just make sure that you're clarifying why and making sure that they complete the whole course. Disposing of antibiotics appropriately. So I know a lot of people might dispose of liquid antibiotics down the kitchen sink. That is definitely a no-go because we're actually just pouring antibiotics down the sink, which then could lead to resistance because it's interacting with the bugs in our sewage system. Just make sure you dispose of it in a pharmacy, a community pharmacy. And also, if your child is labelled as penicillin allergic, just maybe review that, discuss with your healthcare professionals. And I don't just mean in hospital, but actually your community pharmacist, your local GP practice, and maybe we can start reducing the amount of penicillin allergies that are incorrectly labelled.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Sam, and we hope to hear from you again soon.
Thank you so much, Anna Rush.
Thanks. Thank
See
you.
you. Bye bye.
Bye.